Hello, welcome to Q&A with Perrier about calcium bentonite clay. I was playing Unstoppable by Rascal Flatts, and I hope you're having an unstoppable day, particularly with the help of living clay. This is your time to ask questions that you have about the clay, and I'm happy to be here to answer them. To those new to the session, we're talking about calcium bentonite clay, which is a very strong pulling, detoxing, stimulizing, and alkalizing clay. And if you can get those three things going in your body is more likely to get into balance, and a balanced body can heal itself. So the clay is very beneficial in bringing balance to your body. So we have some questions in queue. It says, hello, Perry. My boyfriend coughs up phlegm throughout the day. Would living clay help him with that? It depends on what's the cause of it. If he's having allergies, taking clay over a long period of time, people who have been taking it daily for about a year notice that their allergies begin to lighten up and are not so severe. Some of them completely go away. So I want to look at the basic cause of what's causing his drainage. Something has to go down for it and come up. You know, I was allergic to dogs. I used to have that. Didn't realize I was allergic to animal hair and dander. And when I got married, we had a Doberman that lived inside. I started getting these colds, this drainage, and then it would go in my chest, and then they'd give me antibiotics, and it was a cycle. And it was a while before I realized, I thought I was allergic to my husband. And it dawned on me I'd live in an animal-free environment in a dormitory, and I had no allergies. So it could be allergies that's causing it. Clay applied to your chest might help bring it up and get rid of it, but I would look at the root cause. We also heard the other day on someone with a dry, tickly cough. And they said that taking garlic and rubbing it on the feet helped him with that kind of dry, tickly cough. So I think you can look up Vicks Vapor and garlic and get a remedy there for that. So I'm afraid I can't give you a real definitive answer on that one, but I wish him the best. Okay, Julie in Maple Valley, what about ringing in the ears? In some cases, it helps if you put the clay mask on the outside of the jaw, behind the ear, in front of the ear, and just run it down your jaw and your cheek and leave it on and let it dry. And if you can do that a couple of times a day, you might want to take a tiny bit of the clay mask, the mud, put it on a Q-tip. You don't want to pack your ear, but just a little bit down in the ear. I know I did that one time, and the next day I pulled out this dried plug of wax came out. But you want to be careful not to get the clay packed in there where it'll stop up your ear. Again, I also drank the clay. Now, I found a lady the other day who does massage for people who are losing their hearing, and my hearing was getting very bad, and she really works in the jaw area. She's in Austin, Texas. But I had one massage with her, and she got up on my jaws and those muscles, and I actually have been hearing better since she did that. I need to go back and get another one. But it's amazing. If you can find somebody can do that, it's amazing what tight muscles over the years can do. And it might release that ringing also. All right, let's see if we have any more questions. Well, that's all the questions for now, so I'm going to go back to the home page and talk a little bit about clay. I had an interesting testimonial. You know, the clay continues to amaze me when I hear these testimonials and see what it's doing. There are a lot of times there's something I think it won't work in, and then there it proves me wrong. This was from a lady who said, I have an essential tremor. It's a hereditary. My father got quite bad and got worse with age to the stage that he looked like he had Parkinson's. Since using and drinking the clay mud and eating a healthy, unprocessed, as much as possible diet, I have found my tremor has improved rather than getting worse with age. I'm 51 and my tremor some days is not even noticeable. Now, just prior to that, we had had a email from a lady with Parkinson's who said that she noticed after taking the clay that her tremors weren't as bad. So there's something connecting there with people with tremors and drinking the clay. Don't know how it works. As with many things with clay, I don't understand exactly how it works. I just know it gets results and it's safe. So I thought I would pass that one on to you. And I have another one I'm going to look up in a minute. I can't click on things and talk at the same time, so should have had this already opened up. It was an amazing one. It really surprised me. A gentleman's father, who's 94, was living with he and his wife, and he kind of had his room in his side of the house. And he said, you know, most of the time when he was in their side of the house, he had on long pants, and he never noticed his legs. And he walked in to his room the other day, and he looked at him, and he was sitting in his lounge chair, and he didn't have his long pants on. He's just sitting there in his undershorts. And he noticed that he had had his legs were purple from the knees down. So he told his wife about it, and she started putting the clay mask on his feet and legs from his knees all the way down and wrapping it in saran wrap. And she would leave it on. She'd change it twice a day, but leave it on most of the day and change it and put a fresh one on. Then at night you can put a thin coat on and let it dry and let him sleep with it on. And in 2 weeks' time, his legs were back to pink and healthy. And the blackness, he was also getting numbness there. So that's an amazing thing. And let me get back to my home page here and see if we have any more questions coming in. Well, surprising we don't. I'm going to go and look. Somebody is trying to call me, and occasionally I get kicked off the line, so I just want to make sure I'm on the line. Looks like I am. I do want to introduce you to a new clip. I did an interview with the Power Hour the other day, and the first 9 minutes of it, she was asking me to describe clay and how it worked, and sometimes I just get in the zone, and we have a 9-minute clip, very clear and distinct on what calcium bentonite is and how it works. And we have that available on aboutclay.com. And also on livingclaybook.com. If you go to livingclaybook.com, there'll be on the right-hand side, it'll say, great 9-minute segment from the Power Hour on how clay works. And it's only 9 minutes, so I invite any of you that are new to clay to go there and listen to it. It's also on aboutclay.com. Look for a 9-minute clip with the Power Hour. So we took out a lot of the chit-chat and just took the cream off of that interview. And it was really good, and I wanted to pass that on. If you have anybody wanting to learn about clay, this would be a great way to introduce them to it with that little clip they could go and listen to and kind of get a bird's-eye view of what they're talking about. All right, we've got some more questions. Cindy in Portland. If clay stimulates the gallbladder to increase the flow of bile, according to Raymond Dexter, then how does it react if you do not have a gallbladder? Well, it just wouldn't stimulate the gallbladder. I'm not sure what reaction you're talking about. If you're trying to get more flow of bile, I don't know what happens when they take the gallbladder out. Generally, some of our other organs take over, and they wouldn't take it out if it would stop something going on that's necessary to the body. So I'm not that much in the medical field. Please understand, I'm not a doctor. I'm just a person who knows about clay. Clay tends to stimulate the whole body. The electromagnetic energy in the clay is a light stimulation. It just opens up the flow. So that's, I think, why when you have muscle aches and things and you rub the clay on it, it brings the circulation. It allows the flow and the tension to release and relax, and the headache goes away. Same thing if you want to put a poultice over your body organs. It will stimulate like your liver or your kidneys or the gallbladder, as you recommended, just by bringing energy and blood flow to that particular organ. So it's an amazing, has amazing abilities. Cindy also asked, is it necessary to take psyllium husk with the clay? Is it okay to use bottled spring water or use distilled water? I love the bottled spring water, any kind of filtered water. Distilled water is slightly acidic, and it also tends to be drying if you're using it on your skin. So I would stay away from distilled water. If you don't have anything but tap water, use that. Clay will pull out what's not beneficial to you in it anyway. And as far as psyllium husk, if you take the clay with a pretty good dose, it's going to cleanse you out just fine without the psyllium husk. It's going to pull that old fecal matter that's lodged in those crevices out. Now, some people, when they first start taking it, notice they have constipation. Well, when it's pulling that old crud out, we walk around, if you've never had a colonics, you probably have 5 to 10 pounds of old fecal matter wedged in the crevices of your colon. Now, this crap gets in there, and it blocks your absorption of food and nutrients from your food. A lot of people say, I don't digest my food. Well, it could be you're lined with old crud, and you need to get cleaned out so it can go through. So when the clay pulls that out, it's thrown in the canals, and it's dark, and it's stinky. And if you notice your stool changing, and it's dark, and it's smelly, and it's hard, take whatever you need to keep the bile ducts, you know, the ducts flowing to keep the janitorial services working. I like to recommend over-the-counter magnesium tablets. Just go to the drugstore, the grocery store, and get the 250 milligram magnesium tablets, one twice a day, or you can take one and a half, whatever it is that you need to keep your process working, and get that crud out of there. I had a lady the other day say when she first took it, she was so constipated she had to go to the ER. And she asked me about it, and I said, well, there are two things happening. Either you've got a bunch of old crud in there that's stopping up the plumbing when it's coming out, or you have an imbalance in your digestive issue and the clay is trying to correct it. And she, after I told her that, she got a colostomy, and she found 3 precancerous polyps. And so she had them taken care of, and she said, I was just amazed that the clay was sort of a detection system for her. But a lot of times it's just pulling out that old crud. Once you get that out of the way, I asked her, you know, how her constipation went after that. She said it resolved itself. So now she takes the clay with no problem. Psyllium husk, when you take them, it's like a scrub brush going in there, and it cleans everything out of your colon, the good bacteria and the bad bacteria, and you get a good cleaning. To me, it makes me feel bloated and bulky. Some people like it. It's a preference. If you take it and you take it more than a week, I'm going to recommend you take some good probiotics to refill your gut flora. Now, clay doesn't take all the bacteria out. It wants the bad bacteria. It actually has some microflora in it that's good for the digestive system. If you've read Raymond Dixter's book, then you know about that. And she was talking, the book she was talking about, referring to Raymond Dixter's Our Earth, Our Cures. He was one of the first naturopathic doctors that used herbs and things, and he wrote a book called Our Earth, Our Cures. Many years ago, he was a French naturopath, I guess you would say. I don't even know if they had the term back then, in the early 1900s. And his book has been translated from France into English. It's called Our Earth, Our Cures. They have different titles for it, but you can find it from that. It's sort of out of print. They're hard to find. Excellent book. He talks about clay all throughout the book. He has a whole chapter devoted to it. And then in a lot of his remedies, he recommends clay with other things as well. But he tells you how to make plants and make tinctures and do a whole lot of things. But he constantly was referring to clay. Now, a little of his information was outdated, and he had the positive charge of the clay and the negative charge reversed in one place. But, you know, you can tell where those things are, and it's an excellent book. All right. Vina in Sacramento. I just started taking clay twice a day with psyllium husk for candida. Do you also recommend taking candida herbs along with the clay? I'm not familiar with candida herbs. This is something new. People come up with new things every day. Here's the thing with clay. If you're not getting the results you want, increase the amount of clay you're taking. When you take it internally, it goes from the mouth south. But often with candida or something like that, if you get it slightly under control and then slack off, then it rebuilds. These bacteria reproduce, they're very prolific. So you might get a seesaw effect. The clay works at first and you kind of slack up, and then here it comes back in another way. So once you get it working, keep on and keep on, just a little heavier, and stay with it for a while to really get cleaned out and get everything under control and balance. I just can't speak to the candida herbs. Sometimes you take things along right with the clay and it might cause gas. I know if you've eaten something really acidic and drank the clay, the alkalizing nature is wanting to bring it into balance, and sometimes it's caused the food you ate to give off gas, and some people get a little gassy and bloated when they take it with some acidic foods. So just keep that in mind and try it and see how it works for you. I'm just not familiar with it. If you want to send me a link where I can go in and look what's in it, I might have a little idea, probably not much more than I do right now. Michael in Portland, how would you use calcium bentonite clay for macular degeneration? Macular degeneration is the eyes. I would do a pack over the closed eye. Just close your eyelid and put the clay mask over it. I did it last night. I went to bed with it on pretty thick on one eye and just slept with it on all night. I don't know what I touched my eye, but it started burning and watering and weeping, and then I kept messing with it, and then it got to itching. And it was bothering me all day long, so I thought, okay, I'm going to put the fire out. So when I went to bed last night, I just put the clay mud over my closed eyelid and laid down and went to sleep. Of course, I had to get up with one eye this morning because it dried shut. But, you know, I got in the shower and rehydrated it and washed it off, and it was fine. I don't know if it's going to work for that or not. If you could do it twice a day. Generally, when clay works with something, it does it pretty quickly. Now, allergies takes longer. There are some things that do take longer. But I would say you'd be able to tell something within a week or two of doing the treatments. But I would do them two a day. And at night, just put a thin coat on over the closed eyelid. But during the day, you can pack it on. And I'm talking about covering that whole cavity very thickly with clay to the point that you can't open your eye. You probably have to do it one eye at a time. And then just lay a wet wash rag over the eye to keep it from drying around the edges, because the skin on our eyelids is kind of thin, and sometimes when we go to wipe it off, we don't get it fully hydrated. It's itches a little bit, or it's kind of abrasive. So put a wet wash rag over it, just kind of use common sense with it, and lay there for 10 or 15 minutes, or if you can walk around and not open the eye and leave it on there, it'll stay in place. And 15, 20 minutes, 30, as much as you want, let's try it and see how it works. That's a good question. Thank you. Kim and Kahlua, do you have any success stories for people that are celiac with or digestive problems? Lots and lots and lots. I have some celiac people that say that it's really helped them with their digestive system and a lot with heartburn and gas. They also, of course, are on strict diets, as I'm sure you are. And can't think of the word I'm saying, with the bread-free and dairy-free, things like that, when watching their starches. But, yes, it has given them relief. It's very good with any kind of digestive problems, indigestion, heartburn. It'll clear it up in 1 to 2 days. You can throw those purple pills away. Just drinking a little clay, and anytime you feel the heartburn, go get a swig of clay, or anytime you feel. I had one lady that came to me that said she had had lower gut pain constantly for over a year. She's just always aware. It wasn't a severe pain, but it was just that low, nagging pain in her lower bowel area. It had been bothering her for a year, and I gave her a shot of clay, a little jigger of clay. I call it a shot because I put it in a jigger, a shot glass. And she took that, and we were sitting there talking, and about 15 minutes later, she said, "Oh, my gosh, I don't have any more pain. It's the first time I've been pain-free in over a year." So it's very good with polyps. It pulls out the inflammation, any kind of inflammation in the colon or the bowels or the stomach ulcers. It will help cure that. Now, I do a show at teleseminar twice a month, like this one on clay. In the middle of the month, I do one on wellness, and we talk about stress and worry, because that really contributes to a lot of our diseases. This built up of anxiety, the high blood pressure we get, the stress, just dealing with life. So it's about dealing with life and breathing and meditating and taking time out and calming down and realizing that worry is futile. You're pasteurizing or you're futurizing, and most of the things you worry about never happen. So how to stay in the moment and not get tied up in fear of the future or the past. So it's a good little show, and would love to have you come listen into that too as well. All right, good questions here. Michael in Portland, would a clay bath be okay with calcium bentonite and sodium bentonite mixed together? I don't like to mix clays. I've tried it before, and when I shake them up, sometimes it causes them to separate and not hold their emulsion. I've also heard about adding salt to calcium bentonite. I don't think it makes it any stronger. If you have a good calcium bentonite, it's going to be strong. When I added salt to the calcium bentonite and shook it up, it immediately separated. The clay didn't stay in emulsion. It didn't hold its swelling. The clay settled to the bottom, and you just had cloudy water on top. And often when you mix clays, that same thing happens, and it negates both of them. So I would stick with one or the other. You can alternate them if you really want to use both and see. If you have a good, strong, swelling calcium bentonite, you're going to be fine with that. Some sodium bentonites that are not real high are all right. Some of them can have 18 to 20% sodium, and those are the ones that I like to steer clear of. Okay, Kalina in Beaverton, I read somewhere that clay, just like any detox program, will rid your body of both the bad and the good bacteria, and that you should not do any detox on a daily basis. But I've also heard it's okay to drink clay on a daily basis, which is correct, and is the answer the same whether you use calcium or sodium mix. Clay does not rid yourself of both good and bad. Clay is selective. Clay is a very strong negative magnet. It has a negative ionic charge, and it's looking for a positive, and it sucks the positive up in. It doesn't kill bacteria, or it captures it and cuts it off from its supply and carries it out of the body where it dies a natural death. There are good bacteria that have the positive charge. The things with your positive charge are the bad ones, the virus, the fungus, the molds, the yeast, your radiation, your heavy metals, your chemicals have a positive charge, and that's all the clay is going after. There are a lot of naturopaths out there that don't understand that, and they think it strips everything of the body. And it does not. Clay is one of the safest things for the body I've ever found. I think you would have to drown in clay to die from it. I've never heard of anybody having any organ problems from taking or using clay. It's just unheard of. It's just there to support the body. But there are a lot of myths out there, and I thank you for asking that, giving me the time to correct that one. And yes, the answer is the same whether you're using calcium or sodium. There's still a negative ionic charge looking for a positive. And again, you said, or a mix. I'm not fond of mixing clays. I think you're diluting them. It's like you're going to get an average. If you have two good clay and you mix them together, you're going to get an average. Just think of it that way. Now, try it and see if you like it better. You might like it better. If you have a good standalone clay, I don't think you need to mix it. I think it's sort of another way to get another product out there and people interested in buying it, but that's just my opinion. And I may be a little old-fashioned in that regard, but I really think when you mix two things together, it's not going to go to the superior. They're going to dilute each other and find a middle ground. See what I'm saying? And it's also, you know, your choice. And if you want to experiment with them, go right ahead and let me know what you find out. Vina in Sacramento, thank you for answering my question. Candida herbs include Podiaco, cryptic acid, organic oregano oil. It's recommended to take these herbs with the clay or separately. I would take them away from the clay because sometimes clay mixes with things, particularly acid, since it's so alkaline and it tends to, may cause a little gaseous reaction in the body. So I would take them. If you want to take them both, fine, but do it at separate times. Wait an hour, say, between them and try that. Excuse me. And thank you for that information. I don't know what Podiaco is. And I know, oregano and garlic, and they're good for us. Joan in Edneyville. I had to stop a minute and look at that one. Edneyville. Can clay have an adverse effect for anyone with high blood sugar? If not, how does it help someone with high blood sugar? No, it doesn't have an adverse effect. It's not going to increase your blood sugar. Clay wants to balance the body. If it helps bring you into balance, then that helps regulate your blood sugar. If your pancreas isn't working at full steam, or if you're a juvenile diabetic where it's working not at all, you're still going to have to monitor your blood sugar. We have had some people that were taking good supplements and dieting and exercising and taking the clay and were able to get off their type 2 diabetic medicines. But it does take effort. It's not a magic cure that's just going to cure everything. They haven't found anything for that yet. So it's kind of like losing weight. You're going to have to get up off the couch. These are excellent questions today. Thank you. Okay, Cindy in Portland, how thick do I need to put on the clay for a full body wrap? Do I need to heat the clay? How long do I keep it on? You know, if it's cold and you want to heat it, that's fine. I like to put the clay mud in a Ziploc bag, and then you can just soak it in a bowl of hot water, and it heats very quickly. And a full body wrap, sometimes people just go to the bathroom and get naked and put the clay all over them and kind of walk around, turn on some music, and hold your arms out and let it dry, and then get in a bath. If you want to wrap saran wrap all around you, it's a little awkward, and you do want to put it on thick enough to really do some good. So you want to put it on a quarter to a half inch thick. You don't want to be able to see the skin. And how long you keep it on is up to you, at least a good hour. And those are very good questions. Thank you. And we're talking about the clay mass, the mud, the 1-to-3 mix, or whatever it is on whatever clay you buy, use your manufacturer directions. Michael in Portman, how much liquid clay do I give a little child, 3 to 5 years old, for stomach pains? I would give them a teaspoonful of the liquid clay, of the pre-mixed liquid, the 1-to-8 ratio. My grandson is 10, and he takes about a tablespoon now. He loves fruit, and he will eat a whole bag of those little clementine oranges. Then he gets diarrhea and a bellyache. And so strawberries and blueberries and blackberries, he'll just eat the whole container full. So when he does get that way, it's clay time, and I put it his in a little apple juice, and he doesn't even know. He looks at it when it's just clay, and he said, I'm not going to take that, Mina. That's just dirt. So I put it in apple juice and had him smell it. He smelled it, and it smelled like apple juice. And I said, now take a tiny taste. And he took a little taste, and it tasted like apple juice. And I said, drink it down. So he'll come to me now when he gets a bellyache and get some. I wish he'd take it every day, but his mama's a school teacher, and they have to get up early and get to school, and he doesn't always get it every day. But he knows where to go when he's got problems. But a teaspoon to 2 teaspoons, you know, again, you can give it to them twice a day or once a day and just see how they're doing. If they're having a stomach pain, go get a little bit and give it to them right then. And you can start regulating after that. I think if you do it once or twice a day, it's going to regulate that and calm that stomach down. Thank you. All right. Wow, good questions today, guys. This has been an interesting day, and our time is up, and I'm going to the grade school and watch my grandson be awarded his knight. He's getting knighted today for respect. So I'm going to take my camera and zip up to the elementary school and bask in the glory of my grandson. So I wish you all a wonderful week, and keep taking that clay, okay? This is Perrier signing out.